That's Bobby Timmons. The track is called This Year. Current state on 90.5 WKAR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mark Bayshore. The Lansing Symphony Orchestra's second Masterworks concert of the season is on Saturday at Wharton Center. It features music of Borodin and Rimsky-Korsakov and the two violin concertos by Prokofiev. Current state's Melissa Benmark talked with LSO conductor Timothy Muffet about the concert, starting with soloist Ilya Koller.
During my tenure, this is Ilya's third visit in Lansing, and which tells you something about my admiration for him as an artist and a human being also. He played the Tchaikovsky concerto with us. Then he played the Brahms double concerto with us with Amit Peled as cellist. And now he's back to play the two Prokofiev concertos, which ever since the first time I heard Ilya play, the first time I worked with him, this was the concert I've always wanted to do with him, are these two concerti. They just play so much into his strength, which is actually everything is his strength, but the kind of violinist that he is, this super pure sound, this super focused, pure tone suits Prokofiev beautifully, but yet he's got, as a Russian himself, he has that spirit and passion and energy that we love from Russian music, and those are the qualities that a lot of that makes up these two concertos.
The thing that struck me in doing the research for talking to you about this concert, two things, that all the pieces seem to be tied together in a certain way. The first theme I noticed is that there's a lot of Russian composers writing with Spanish influences in the Capriccio Español and the Prokofiev Violin Concerto No. 2. And the other thing is that Rimsky-Korsakov shows up in here. Seems like he's always cleaning up after everybody. In terms of the orchestration, that he pulled what he could out of the Polovtsian dances, sounds like, after Borodin died before finishing Prince Igor.
Well, yes, Rimsky-Korsakov did do a lot of cleaning up. He cleaned up a lot of, you know, and that, quote-unquote, cleaned up in Mussorgsky and Borodin and others. And there's a little bit of controversy there, that especially what he did with Mussorgsky, that there would be those that said that they think Mussorgsky's voice was fine the way it was, and it's sort of dark and perhaps cumbersome quality. There's a lot of nice threads that run through this all-Russian program, and Prokofiev's use of the castanets in the second concerto. He loved the castanets. They show up in other works of his as well, and somehow they don't feel out of place. They just kind of work in the context of the piece.
Frankly, I didn't know that Prokofiev wrote violin concertos. Are they that often played in the concert hall?
Yeah, they probably not as frequently as Tchaikovsky and Brahms and Beethoven, but they're part of the staple repertoire in the concert hall. And doing them both on one program is probably a little bit unusual, but I feel they complement each other well, and they'll be separated by an intermission. So Rimsky-Korsakov and Borodin are the bookends of the program. And after Rimsky-Korsakov, we'll go into the first concerto, then intermission, and then the second concerto opens the second act, and then the Polovtsian dances closes the whole program. So there will be a chance for a little bit of a breather and a reset. But
especially for the soloist.
Especially for the soloist, yes. They're not very long in work in terms of the concerto department. They both run between 20 and 25 minutes. And I think they work nicely together, and it's a chance to, you know, bring just exactly what you're talking about here, to kind of put the spotlight on these two great, great pieces. They're remarkable pieces of music.
What's sort of the jolt moment for you in this concert?
Right. Well, the jolt moment will be the first note of the first concerto of the Prokofiev, and then everything that follows in these two concerti. These are just extraordinary pieces of music. And not even just as concertos, but as fully conceived whole pieces of music. It's everything we love about Prokofiev, the rhythmic quality, the spectacularly beautiful melodies. I mean, they're very much still Romantic era works with Prokofiev's gentle 20th century vocabulary spicing it up a little bit. But these really at heart are two Romantic era concertos. But they are, there's a unique voice here from the composer in these two pieces that I think has to do with the fact that it is a violin concerto and that there is one basic musical idea that runs through the two pieces. But the way he moves in and out of the different moments of music are really just remarkable. So for me, the jolt moment, I mean, the big thing I'm looking forward to are these two pieces.
So you feel that even though the first one was written in 1917, which of course was also the year of the October Revolution, so not exactly a quiet time where he was, and then the second was written in 1935 and premiered in Spain, you feel there's a musical connection between the two pieces?
Well, it's probably just the connection that they come from the same composer. But Prokofiev did experiment with different styles of writing, but these two do kind of hold together in that neo-romantic vein. And I think, like I said already, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's a violin concerto. And so he was probably thinking to his models, Tchaikovsky and others, as he was conceiving it, whether consciously or otherwise. So I feel like because they're similar in that regard, they probably inspired some of the same reactions from the composer.
Timothy Muffett, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.